Hello and welcome to episode 154 of Adam and Phoenix. It's your host, Joseph Bryant, as you know. In this episode, we're going to be going through the fight between Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury. As you can see by the title, I can imagine you probably predicted this as well. But I'm just going to share some of my thoughts about it, some facts about the both fighters and the event that you might not have known. And, of course, please feel free to share your thoughts on them as well. Remember to message me on Instagram at jbryant_2001. I'll be happy to chat with you there. So on the 28th of October 2023, at 11:15 p.m., Francis Ngannou and Tyson Fury had a fight, a boxing match. Now, Francis Ngannou, as I'm sure you're all aware, was the previous heavyweight UFC heavyweight champion, and I believe John Jones is now a heavyweight fighter. I think he's actually the heavyweight, he is the heavyweight champion because he beat Carol Gane, I think that's his name, Carol Gane. So yes, John Jones is the champion. Francis Ngannou stepped down from UFC because he had a knee injury in his fight, which he had after fighting Stipe Miocic. So after he fought him in 2021 and won the title, he fought someone else, and in that fight he got a knee injury. He still won, but he got a knee injury. So he stepped down, and he also believed he wasn't being paid enough by the UFC, so he moved to the PFL League, which is what Conor McGregor's going to, and which is what Jake Paul's going to. Now, what's most interesting about that is he's 37, so it would be interesting how many fights he's going to commit to before that whole competition runs through. And I can imagine with a couple of fighters like Conor McGregor and Francis Ngannou and Jake Paul and other fighters, I think Nate Diaz might be going, but I'm not entirely sure. It'll be very interesting. There'll be a lot of great fights, and it's going to be an actual bit of competition between UFC and PFL, because it's usually the big names that draw the attention. You know, it's the big players that people care about. For example, Lionel Messi is now at Inter Miami. Now, no one knew who Inter Miami was until Messi joined them, right? So, but people were still glad to hear about them because Messi's there. So because he joined them now, Inter Miami is going to get loads and loads of revenue and views. I mean, I believe their Instagram page grew up by like a couple of 10, 20 million. Their shirt sales were massive, obviously, with Messi shirts. And the same with like Ronaldo and Mane and Benzema, all the players who went to the Saudi League, Neymar. Because of the big names who went there, they have glorified the poor leagues, the rubbish leagues, basically. I understand Messi, Ronaldo, they're getting older now, so it's a bit different for them. But they've gone to a league where it's easy to do because they're getting older. And of course, there's good money involved. Unfortunately, money does play a big factor in players' legacies, which I find quite stupid. But again, who am I to judge? So what happened is that, to summarize, Tyson Fury won the fight by points. But what's most interesting is it was a 10-round bout. And in the third round, Francis Ngannou knocked Tyson Fury. He gave him a left hook and he was down. And Tyson Fury pretty much dominated him for most of the fight. It was very close in the sense that we didn't expect... I believe everyone didn't expect Francis Ngannou to throw many hits. But he did. He threw some good jabs. He threw some good straights. Some very powerful shots. I believe that Francis Ngannou threw more power punches in that fight compared to Fury. So, again, that's obviously because he's MMA fighter. He's more used to that. What's most interesting, and I'm glad I researched this, is there's a lot of... Francis Ngannou actually did box when he first started. So, he was working in a sand quarry from the age of 10. Because at the age of 12, I believe, because his parents divorced when he was 6, and his mum was struggling with money where he was in Africa. I can't remember where he's from. I believe it's Ghana. I might be wrong. And he worked in the sand quarry. And then when he got to about 21, 22, he decided he wanted to go all in on boxing. I think it might have been... No, 22 was when he... 29 was when he had his professional fight. 22 is when he sort of got into it and he was doing more amateur type stuff. But 29 was when he got into his professional fights. But at 22, he got into boxing and his parents were against it because they thought he should stay and make money off his full-time job and stick to that, like many people have been told and whatnot. But Francis Ngannou didn't want to do that. He wanted to follow his own dreams, his own beliefs, his own goals. And he went out and, well, have a look at the career he's made. He's heavyweight champion of the world. He fought one of the best heavyweights, which has been stated to be of all time. Certainly the best heavyweight now. And he's won. He's done really well. So Francis Ngannou, great, great fighter. And some of you have to watch the match because even my comments can't give him enough justice because when he was moving, he was... One thing I didn't like, he didn't put his arms up that much and he didn't dodge that well. And so he's a big muscular man, but he often put his hands down quite a lot. And I felt that if he just put his hands up more, he would have actually won the fight. Because Fury only beat Ngannou by, I think it was like 5 points, something like that. But most of the time it was probably because Ngannou didn't expect Fury to land all those jabs, which he did. Tyson Fury got the better and got more points because, well, Ngannou was just putting his hands down more. And that's a very basic fundamental rule, right? To protect yourselves at all times. To put your guard up. A very simple rule, but not many boxers follow. If you look at a lot of boxers today, a lot of them put their hands down or they're trying to move, they're trying to dodge other people and whatnot. And it's great they have faith in their ability, but there's no shame in just putting your arms up and protecting yourself. It's such a basic rule. And yet it's so important. You can stop them from getting so many points because people don't realize, people think that they focus so much on the knockout, but actually, pretty much most of the fight, you can easily win just by getting points. So even if I'm jabbing you loads and hitting you loads to the body and whatnot, it may not be powerful hits that might knock you down, but I'm still beating you. I'm still winning the game. I'm still beating your points. And that's what you've got to be very wary of. Like, you don't have to be big and powerful and try to beat the opponent. It's not about beating the opponent. It's about boxing the opponent. I'm no boxing fighter myself. Definitely not the level that Fury and Ngannou were at. But that's just some things I've noticed there. But Ngannou did show great confidence, good character. He threw a good couple of jabs. He threw a lot of 1-2s as well. 1-2 is basically a jab and a straight. So very good hits. And some good hooks as well. What happened in the knockout, by the way, was in round 3, Tyson Fury threw a 1-2. Ngannou had his hands up there. Then he threw another 1-2. And straight after the 1-2, Ngannou countered with a left hook. And Fury went smack down on the ground, on the canvas and whatnot. And Ngannou was giving him a trash talk. Like, I don't know what he's saying, but he was obviously trying to get into his head. And Fury got up straight away, so fair play to him. But I think what was most great from a lot of people's point of view is that they didn't expect Ngannou to knock down Tyson Fury like that. Because, well, Tyson Fury is one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, or at least that's in the mention. And you would expect an MMA fighter to actually be that good at boxing. You know, we saw Dylan Danis, we saw Tyron Woodley against Jake Paul, Anderson Silva against Jake Paul, Ben Askren and Jake Paul. Probably some others as well. But the point is that Ngannou, no one expected Ngannou to beat Tyson Fury like that. So that's why everyone was surprised. But Ngannou did a great job. He threw a couple of good jabs in there. He threw some straights. He went to the body as well, which is smart. Obviously, Tyson Fury, 6'9", 85-inch reach. It's very hard to get him to the head because it's so easy for him to move and to block and whatnot. But his body is actually very open because he's got quite a big belly. I can't imagine you could do much damage to it. I can't imagine he would feel much pain there. But again, you get points. So Ngannou was clever about that, getting points in, hitting to the body. And I believe Ngannou threw the most and landed the most punches to the body. So that was smart work from Ngannou. I can imagine Mike Tyson, his trainer, showed him that as well. That's also another great thing. Mike Tyson was the trainer of Ngannou. There was another guy on the pads with him as well. And then Tyson Fury, his trainer was his dad and whatnot. I believe so. But Ngannou showed a great fight. He did really well. And fair play to Ngannou. He did really well. Another thing I would add is that there's a bit of difference in the history. So Ngannou obviously fought professionally when he was 22. And he moved to Paris to pursue his professional career more. While he was professional, he was also homeless. Again, he didn't have a proper job. He was relying on financial support. And of course, I can't imagine he earned that much when he first started. And also, if he lost, he would lose money as well. But Ngannou won all of his fights. But Ngannou was homeless in Paris for many, many years until he won his title. At least that's what it says on here. And then he started obviously earning more money and buys all the things that he wanted to buy. So that's quite inspiring on that end. Yeah, he didn't have much education as well, mainly because his family was very poor. And I believe a certain education you have to pay for. So they couldn't do that. So he had very poor education. And his mum and his parents were both very poor. So, you know, credit to Ngannou for that. What else? And then with Fury. Fury was born in 1988 by Amber and John Fury. Also, we talked about Jake Paul and Tommy Fury as well. Tommy Fury is the brother of Tyson Fury. So, again, well done to... I mean, obviously, Tommy Fury beat KSI when they had the fight as well. But Tyson Fury was born in 1988. He was born in a gypsy sort of family. So, he's used to that. You know, that rough sort of play, the rough growing up background and childhood, fighting and whatnot. I believe his dad taught him that at a very young age. He wanted his sons, both sons, to be fighters. Now, of course, Tyson Fury did become the better fighter. I believe he was just more confident and he was willing to like take more fights and whatnot. He is much older than Tommy Fury as well. Tommy Fury is 24, I believe. And Tyson Fury is 35, so yeah. But again, I think it's just a matter. I don't think nothing to do with age. It's just a matter that Tyson Fury just worked hard and he believed himself more. I think Tommy Fury has more of a I want to look glamorous type thing. That's why he went on Love Island. Right? He wanted that representation sort of look. But yeah, Tommy Fury did really well. He grew up rough childhood. Then he got into boxing. He had a couple of amateur fights and amateur titles. And he won this amateur WBCA title. And then as soon as he turned 20, he became pro. And he won his first heavyweight title against Klitschko, which I believe was in 2008. And when you look at Tyson Fury, he had many fights and whatnot, but he did go into a depression. I believe he went into a depression for 3 years because he came back in 2011. He mentioned that as soon as he beat Klitschko, he sort of thought, what then? Because Tyson Fury won the WBA, IBCA. He also won the Ring Magazine title, which only Floyd Patterson and Ali have won. And then some other titles as well. So he won four titles and the Ring Magazine title. The Ring Magazine title is just for the like the best sports personality of the year, but just it's their way of saying, you know, he's the best boxer of, he's the best fighter, he's the best boxer of all martial arts sports or of the boxing sort of industry and whatnot. So he's done really well there. But yeah, Tyson Fury had struggles with depression and whatnot. Because of this, he got out of boxing, his titles stripped off. He had a huge amount of weight gain. He gained over 100 pounds. And then when his intention was to go back into boxing, he lost 112 pounds. He wanted to go back and, you know, fight people again and whatnot. And Tyson Fury fought, he fought Deontay Wilder. He had some other fights as well, fighting Chisora. So he fought Chisora a lot. I guess it was, the last fight was in 2022, but he also fought Chisora in 2014. But Tyson Fury fought Deontay Wilder. Obviously, they had a trilogy, and he won the title in the second one. They had a third winning, he defended it again. It was a really good fight. I recommend watching them. There was speculation about, just sort of drifting on to Ngannou, about Ngannou fighting John Jones. Obviously, there's always speculation, like the speculation with Tyson fighting Usyk, Tyson fighting Joshua, Tyson fighting Wilder again. There's also been thoughts that if Tyson said that if he's not able to fight Usyk, he'll fight Joseph Joyce. So I think that, Tyson Fury should go and fight these people. Fight Usyk, more specifically. A very good fight. I think Francis Ngannou was very good. And one thing about Tyson was that Tyson was very smart about this. I think this is why he won. Tyson just knew, as long as he would jab and throw hits from a distance, he would beat Ngannou because he had longer reach. And I think Tyson goes into that every single fight. He's taller than all of the fighters. Right? No one's ever been taller than him. So he always goes in and he knows in his mindset he can just think, I'll just take advantage and just jab, jab, jab from a distance. He does go in and throw hooks and straight punches now and then. He goes in and throws those jabs. That's his main priority. And he was very smart about using today. You know, Ngannou is no small puncher. So Ngannou has, I mean, you probably know this, but Ngannou has recorded that the hardest punch on the planet, 96 horsepower, which is the equivalent to a Ford Escort being hit right in the face. So this was the Battle of the Baddest. This is what the title was called. So, yeah, you know, it seems that Tyson won that title. But it was a very close fight, and there were champions in there. I remember there was a panel. There were two champions. I can't recall their name. Lennox Lewis was there as well. And they agreed that Ngannou won that fight just because, well, they said it more based on his character and emotions. But logically, I think we could all see that Fury won. But Ngannou was throwing some good hits. He didn't make it easy for Fury. That's one thing for sure. Right? He was hitting the body. He was jabbing. He was throwing hooks. He was throwing, you know, uppercuts and whatnot. He was throwing good hits. So Ngannou did good. He did good there. He showed them well. Fury as well, like, even when he got knocked down, he did look a bit discouraged as he got up. He looked a bit discouraged. But I think that from the rest of the fight and the rest of the rounds, he knew that if he could just jab and throw straight hits, that he would win. But even Ngannou, towards the end, I think the 9th and 10th fight, more specifically, Ngannou was getting smart. It's like he read Tyson Fury quick. He knew that if he could just throw some jabs and some straight punches to the body, he could actually win the fight. And, you know, win by points. He didn't, but he was smart about it. He was very clever about it. And I think Mike Tyson, being his trainer, definitely help with that. But yeah, Tyson Fury obviously coming back, finally Deontay Wilder came back. And his mentality seemed very, very strong. He seemed like he could fight anyone. But now, and this is the sort of thoughts that I wanted to get into it, this, I felt that, again, this is more just a money grab and just a... I don't think that Fury and Ngannou look at it on a basis of legacy. It's more on a basis of representation, money, and how they feel about themselves. Because, well, first of all, you have Battle of the Baddest as a title, right? So obviously there's a bit of ego inflation in that. And you also got to remember that Tyson Fury is 35 and he said he retired before Ngannou, and then Ngannou called him out. He said, you know what, we'll fight. And then he said he'll probably retire. He said he would fight Usyk. He wants to fight Usyk, but if that doesn't go out, he'll fight Joe Joyce. But he did say that he retired. And obviously at the time, I know he was suppressed, but he did retire sort of then. And 35 fights. I don't believe you can recall yourself being the greatest of all time if you have 35 fights. Because you have Muhammad Ali with over 60 fights. Mike Tyson with over 50 fights. Floyd Patterson with, like, you know, over 100 fights. It was a bit different then, the sort of rules then. I think back in the early 1900s where you had like 15 rounds and boxers like fighting like every month, every like 2 weeks. That's why Floyd Patterson and people like Sugar Ray Robinson had over 100 fights. Now, do I think the same boxers were the same as we have today? No. I think the boxers are a bit more technical today. There's more structure to it. They understand what they were doing more. Back in the early 1900s, I still believe there was to an element technical fighting. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trusted. But it was more of domination. It's more of an animalistic mindset of just, I don't care about the sort of style and looking good. It's more about just hitting them as much as possible and defeating them, destroying them. Which is a good mindset, but I'd probably say you need to have a lot of control before going into it. Of course, there's a lot of different things. The weight sizes, there's bigger crowds more than ever. There's a huge, huge variety of things that have changed. But I'd say that they sort of made it easier for them, right? Because now you have, well, Ngannou and Fury fought, you had 10 rounds. So we went from 15 rounds to 12 rounds with Ali and whatnot to 10 rounds, I believe. Ali's fought a couple of 15 rounds. So it's going down slightly. You also had with Tyson Fury, he's fought many fights where it should be 8 and 10 rounds. Again, it's a very similar thing. Like, a fight should be 12 rounds. Just take it to 12 rounds. 12 rounds is good. Like 15 rounds, like they were having like more deaths and whatnot, people dying, right? 12 rounds. 10 rounds is like too little, right? You know, people can... I understand people can... get fatigued, but if they get fatigued after the 10th round or whatnot, that's from their own training, right? They got no one else to blame but themselves. So that's why we should keep it at 12 rounds. So you got 12 rounds there, and there's all these things like a hydration clause and whatnot. You have to dehydrate and whatnot. I don't see the point. As long as you're the same weight, like, water is essential. You need hydration because otherwise, can't perform at your best. Your punches won't execute the best, and your jabs and straight punches won't be that fast, right? So you need to make sure that you're effective with that. Like, proper oxygen, proper endurance helps a lot in these sports. It's crucial, right? Pretty much across all sports, you have good endurance, you're going to do really well. So it's important to have that. So I just think adding all these new rules just makes it more confusing. It's stupid. And it's pointless. Just stick to the basics, the fundamentals, because that has stood the test of time. It's what worked really well. It's what created so many great boxers. One thought that was Ali, Muhammad Ali, when he was the heavyweight boxer champion, he was the heavyweight champion. There's no one else. Even though there was George Foreman and Joe Frazier, there wasn't any other champion except Ali. And he held it for, I believe, over 2 years. I think it was 5 years, actually. But he held it for a long time. And the reason why we should go back to it, I think, is because when you have numerous amount of titles, right, it makes it easier for the title holders because they don't have to risk fighting another fighter who has the title and whatnot because they know they can lose it. Instead, they can fight other contenders who aren't that good, who want a title fight, and just fight them, look good, and win. So that's why they can have all these great records and be happy and think, you know what, I'll still put in the work, but you know what, I'm fighting this bum. I'm not fighting like Deontay Wilder, Fury. I'm fighting some average Joe, right? So I know if I fight him, I'll win. And I can just win the title and just be happy. But when Ali was a champion, there was always that struggle, that battle to try and be the best. And the reason why you need that is because that's how competition is at its best. Competition isn't at the best when everyone wins. Competition's at the best when there's one sole winner, and everyone has to fight to win. You dominate, you take part, you try your absolute best, despite how difficult and the other fighters may be, to win that title. Right? And it makes it more interesting as well, because you never know what to expect. Right? That title fighter may be great, but we can always be aware that there might be someone else. To say, for argument's sake, Tyson Fury was the only heavyweight champion, who would he have? He would have Ali, he would have Wilder, he would have Usyk, he would have Joseph Parker, Joe Joyce, Andy Ruiz, he would have Dylan White, Chisora, so many great fighters there that he could battle for the championship, and whoever wins, right? And if he remains the championship, then that further proves the point. That's why so many people had Ali as the champion there, because in order to show that he was great, he had to fight other great fighters. Because again, if there were other titles that they could have, they could just keep that and not worry about fighting Ali or George Foreman. They could just fight again, an average Joe, and just win the championship. And just, they'll always be seen as a title and a champion holder. But actually, they're not proving their worth and their true ability by fighting the best. And that's the only way to do it. This has happened across all of boxing now, where you have four championships for different divisions, for all different divisions. That's also why MMA have said that boxing is sort of dying down as well, because they've made it easier. They put less restrictions on the rules and whatnot. So again, that's probably why it's sort of dying down. With MMA, however, every single division, there's one champion. Not two, not three, just one. So whoever the middleweight champion is, he is the only one who has that title. And everyone who's competitive and wants to win has the opportunity to fight that middleweight champion. And I believe that's how that should be, because it makes the competition more interesting. It's more natural, which it should be. It doesn't make it as complicated. And it actually makes it less interesting for the public. Right, to see that constant competition, to see who can actually be the best, and to never know what to expect, is what makes it interesting. And I think of all these big money deals, like Ngannou, because he lost, he was given 10 million. Fury was given 50 million, which is a lot of money. And it's a big, big difference. So I understand why that there's that difference. And also it's in Dubai as well. But there's all these big promotions and big money deals to entice people in, but it affects the legacy, because legacy is determined by the challenge, how difficult that challenge is, and if you are able to come in. If you're able to overcome the most difficult challenges, your legacy improves further. If you overcome the odds, your legacy improves further. So that's why they should change it to this more professional, more traditional way of competition of how it should be. There's also the other things you have, like managers and agents and promoters delaying deals, delaying contract offers, delaying fights and whatnot. Which again, the actual decision should be down to the fighter. Then we can know what their true character is, and the true character is what gets people interested and wanted to know more. Anyway, that's it for this episode 154. Thank you so much again for listening. Over 2,000 listeners now. I'm grateful for every single one of you. Have a great day, and I'll give out a new episode soon.